Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, please open them, and it will also be displayed on the screen. The main reading is from Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. This is page 749 or so in the Brown Bibles. Let me read the word. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word that we just read Peter, his disciple, comes on stage as he believes in Jesus and jumps on the water. Without doubting Jesus and in great faith, though the wind was blowing, he dove into the lake and walked to Jesus on the water. When Jesus said, "Come," he believed him, and Peter was able to walk on the water. But as he walked, he saw the wind and became afraid and began to sink. This morning, let's look at the figure of Peter and discover two points that we'd like to think about. That Jesus responds to our requests, and that Jesus helps us. And so, let's look at the first point, that Jesus responds to our requests. Let us think about that. So, let's read again verses 28 and 29. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Jesus said, "Come." And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. As we seek the Word, we walk through our lives in this world. But there are times when we get no answer, no matter how difficult we find our lives. When we have troubles that we can't see the end of, when there's no answer to our prayers and we begin to become impatient. Then, as we face these, we experience great pain. But if we look at today's word, if we passionately call to Jesus, Jesus will always have an answer for us. This morning, let us see how Jesus' call to come is an answer to us. The disciples were in a boat on the lake as the wind began to blow, and they spent that time that at that point they had given up their former lives and believed in Jesus, yet at that time they had become so uneasy and worried that they were capable of mistaking Jesus for a ghost. As Jesus appeared to them in that uncertainty, they wanted to be with Jesus, especially Peter. Surely he hoped that Jesus would relieve his uncertainty. In the midst of such uncertainty, if I could only be by Jesus' side, it would be okay. So he must have thought. And so, more quickly than anyone, he wanted to go to Jesus' side. Again, let's read 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." The lake and the boat, to Peter, who was originally a fisherman, surely had been a safe place to him. Yet, at this time, he was much more uncertain than usual. Rather than his usual position in the boat, he felt that it would be safer to be with Jesus out on the water. What Peter wanted is pretty clear. Even if he was asked to do something so implausible as to walk on the water, whatever way he was told to do it, he wanted to go to be by Jesus' side. Peter was hardly a perfect human being, I suppose. If we look at the Bible, we see him make many mistakes. But Peter had a seeking heart. He wanted to go to where Jesus was. He wanted to be by Jesus' side. He had a very strong, an extremely strong desire to be with Jesus. I myself, this Golden Week, spent some time with the elementary school kids. And we had a good time playing together. And when we were to part, one of the kids came to me. And it wasn't just that he came to be held. But he jumped. And flew at me as if he was relying on me with all his body. And he jumped into my arms. And he had, and I thought he was so cute. But at the same time, I thought, this is amazing. This lovable little kid had believed that somehow I would accept him and catch him. He jumped from a high place, and if I had let him fall, he would have been injured. But he suspected nothing of the kind. There was no doubt in him. He threw all of himself into my arms. And I was amazed. Peter, who wanted to go to Jesus' side, must have had the same kind of feeling. And seeing Peter and knowing his heart, Jesus said, come. That's the verse 29. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. Come. As I contemplated this single word that Jesus spoke, at that time Jesus showed what kind of face to Peter? What kind of expression did he have when he said, come to Peter? I suppose he gently smiled. Yes. Jesus must have known why Peter wanted to go to Jesus' side. Why he was willing to jump out of the boat into the water. He knew that reason. If I can be by Jesus' side, it will all be okay. That must be what Peter thought. And Jesus must have loved him at that point, at that time. And as he lovingly looked at Peter, he said, come. That's what I think. Jesus knows himself, and he knows those who seek salvation from him. He won't refuse them. He answers that prayer, and even if a miracle like walking on water is needed, he will do that for you. And so Peter was able to walk on water towards Jesus' side. Peter's great desire didn't end. There. At the end of his desire, what he wanted was surely there. What a great blessing that is. I went to a seminary called Koryo Shingaku Daigaku. And at that time, I was at a camp as a counselor with the young men. It was a 4-day, 3-night camp, and I was with the 4th-year students. Among them was a young man, about 20, named Gyeongmin Ha. And he told me at counseling time that he had become disappointed in the church. He had discovered that when he went to church, he was not able to meet Jesus there. He had gone to church since he was born. Supposedly, he had never missed church once. And when he was very small, his favorite thing was to hear the stories of Jesus and loved going to church every week. But recently, even when he went to the church, he couldn't feel that joy anymore. Somehow, he didn't desire to hear that talk of Jesus anymore. And his heart became farther and farther from the church. He wanted to do something about this, and so, though he worked at one of the great firms, he took vacation and insisted on that vacation and participated in the camp. The theme of the camp was the answer, and he really wanted to participate in it. The camp's theme verse, it was from the Psalms. Psalm 34, number 4, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Gyeongmin listened to the message where the meaning of this verse was explained. And he really, really wanted something from this. From the beginning of the camp to the end, he spent most of his time in passionate prayer. And I had a little bit of time to pray with him, but I can't forget that prayer. Thank you, God. I give you thanks that you gave us Jesus. I give thanks that you answered me. From now on, I hope that you will continue to answer me. I'm thankful. I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And on the next day, he went home, joyful that he had received his answer. In our lives, sometimes we encounter headwinds. There are storms. We are blocked by troubles, and sometimes we fight with ourselves. Yet, we don't face the storm by ourselves. If we believe in the Lord, what should we fear? In the dark water, if there is dark water between Jesus and ourselves, if the wind blows as in a storm, despite what common sense tells us that we can't walk on water, yet if we seek to be with Jesus, surely he will nevertheless answer us. Jesus will say, "Come." And in this word, "come," there is our answer. If we seek, there will be a true answer from Jesus. A sure, certain answer. If we engrave it on our hearts, we can walk to be with Jesus. We can seek to be with Jesus. So now let us look at the second point, that Jesus will help us. Let's look at verses 29 to 33. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Peter believed Jesus' word. He took him at his word when he said, "Come," and looking only at Jesus, began to walk on the water. But when he saw how the wind whipped through the waves, his faith was shaken in Jesus, and he began to sink. And so, his fear became doubt. In fear, he began to doubt Jesus, and so began to sink into the water. And there, Peter was told by Jesus, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" you have little faith. Nevertheless, before he said those words, he grabbed Peter and saved him. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Jesus immediately reached out his hand to Peter, who was about to sink, caught him up, and saved him. Peter, who in his fear began to doubt Jesus, nevertheless, despite that doubt, Jesus did not let Peter go. Jesus' assistance is available to every person. Though in our doubt we become separated from Jesus, if we ask for his help, he will help us. If you try reading the Bible, there are many commands. Do this, don't do that. But among all of those commands, the one that comes most often, the most frequent of those commands is do not fear. Don't fear. This is the command that the Bible tells us most often. And why is that? That's because fear separates us from God. The fear that separates us, that makes us far from God and from Jesus, unfortunately, anybody can feel fear. What kinds of fear do you have? One person might fear losing those things that they have accumulated until now. Again, another person might be most afraid of some sort of failure or mistake. Others may simply fear the unforeseeable future. I myself feared losing something. Even now, I feel the same fear. I have never been great in self-confidence, and I always feared that the people who understood me, who accepted me, would somehow go away, and that was the most fearful thing to me. I always wondered what people were thinking about me, how they thought about me. And I wondered what God thought of me, how He saw me in His eyes. If I committed a sin, I thought perhaps He would look away from me. though I claim to be saved, yet would he continue to love me? Would he reach out and save me? If in God's eyes, could you truly say, I was saved? That was the kind of fear that I had in my heart. But there was a time when light came into my heart amid that fear. I was consulting a certain pastor. He had listened to my talk about this fear for quite a while, and at the end he said the following thing. There was a time when I had such a serious worry. I had a certain role to play. It was pushed on me. I think this was the time when I was most worried and most uncertain. I prayed every day. Can I possibly do this work? Do I have this strength? The answer to this prayer came through my daughter. One day, as I was full of worry and uncertainty, my daughter, who was at that time too, came to me smiling. Perhaps I had a very serious face at the time. And as I looked at her face, I promised that I would do anything for her. No matter what kind of condition or situation she was in. And that's because I loved my daughter. And as I thought that, I suddenly noticed this word from Isaiah. Do you remember Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4? Let us read Isaiah 43, 1 to 4. It's about page 555 in the Brown Bibles. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. After he read this word, he said, to God, We are lovable beyond compare. God's love doesn't change no matter what kind of person you may be. Jesus's aid will come to you no matter what. If you believe, as you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will help you. You see, if you seek, it doesn't matter what kind of person you are. It doesn't matter when you ask, you will be given the help you need. Let's look at verses 32 and 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, we are saved from, protected from the storms of life. Though we look and fear the wind, though there is doubt in our hearts, according to Jesus' great love for us, His assistance and protection is not going to change, and He will give it to us. There is no change in Jesus' love, no matter what kind of person we are. We are receiving Jesus' love. Please remember that. By His love, Jesus will help us. Please remember that. "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. And so, it's Jesus we should look at, not the wind, don't you think? Jesus is the true Son of God who is able to quiet the winds. If we rely on Jesus' love as those who Jesus loves, Jesus, we can receive Jesus' help. And so, shouldn't we live our lives that way? Now let us pray.